Nearly Christmas. Some people tease me, think I go on a bit too much about Christmas. And it is true that I have been caught singing the odd Christmas carol on the beach in the summer. And I do admit that I have got a dancing Christmas tree at home. But I'm not quite as bad as a man called Andy Park. He was in the news a couple of years ago. He's a 47-year-old electrician from Wiltshire. And he was on the news. He said he had celebrated Christmas Day every day for 13 years. And in that time, that he had eaten 4,000 turkeys, 87,000 mince pies, 26,000 roast potatoes, 30,000 stuffing balls. He told reporters that he'd watched the recording of the Queen's speech every day for 13 years. In fact, he wrote to Buckingham Palace and invited the Queen to come and give her Christmas speech from his humble house. She politely declined. I'm not that bad in my passion for the Christmas season. And I know in one sense, it doesn't matter the date, December the 25th. Jesus wasn't obviously actually born on that day. The church adopted it as a festival to remember his birth. But I think that it's a wonderful opportunity for our Christian faith this Christmas time. I want to talk this morning, in our time we've got together, about preparing for Christmas. And I'm not talking about doing your Christmas shopping. I'm not talking about putting up the Christmas decorations. I'm talking about preparing spiritually for Christmas. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this annual time where we can reflect, we can think about, we can give thanks for the birth of Jesus. And I pray, Jesus, would you come and would you flood this time with your presence, with your goodness, with your love? Would you energize us that we will be focused on you? Help us, Lord, not to be bogged down with the food and the festivities, but instead that our hearts would rejoice in our Savior. Father, thank you for this amazing opportunity, and we pray your amazing blessing upon us in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you remember the first Christmas when you discovered that Santa Claus was not real? And a few gasps as people think, what? He's not real? Some people go to great lengths with their children to convince them that, in fact, Santa Claus is real. I know a family, and what they do at Christmas time is they leave a carrot, half nibbled, out, so that in the morning they can go, look, Rudolph has been here and nibbled a carrot. They leave a mince pie, half eaten, out in the room. Look, Santa has been and nibbled some of this mince pie. They even go into the garden and make reindeer prints in the ground so they could go, look, there's Rudolph, there's Vixen, there's Cupid, as they can explain the amazing visit that Father Christmas had made the night before. The end of my own belief in Father Christmas came when I was about 7 or 8. To be honest, it had been growing for some time. But what really blew the cover on Santa Claus was this particular Christmas. We got a knock at the door, and there was Santa in his glorious red outfit. And as he was knocking on the door, carrying a sack, everyone was going, wow, and the family came in. And I noticed a ring on his finger. I noticed a signet ring, and on that ring were some initials. I spotted there was no other revelation. The shocking revelation was that Granddad actually was Father Christmas because his initials were on the signet ring, and I knew it was him. He was pinned down. It was exposed. But of course, if you think for a moment, it's obvious that Santa could not visit all the children that want him to. Estimated 500 million children in the world who want Santa to visit at Christmas. Obviously, he could not visit them all in one night. Even if he traveled at something approaching the speed of light, even with possible time dilation effects, he could not make it in one night. It is impossible. I want to talk today about the impossible Christmas. Not about Santa Claus, but about that first Christmas, those real events that happened 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away in Israel. This morning, we're going to look at the impossible first Christmas. And we're going to read from the book of Luke. I've taken some extracts, Luke 1 verse 26. And this is reading from the book of Luke. It's the account of what happened. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared and said to her, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born with you will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you said about me come true." Now, as the angel tells Mary the news, her response is a puzzled question. When the angel arrives and gives the news to Mary, she says, "How will this be?" or "How can this be?" She asks the angel. She isn't doubting God's word. She isn't rejecting what the angel says. She isn't doubting her God. Her response is a question. It's an honest question. She looks at the facts of her situation and asks plainly, "God, how are you going to do these things?" The facts are she is a virgin. She says, "Since I'm a virgin," the angel explains, "What's going to happen is this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the one to be born you will be called, the Holy One will be called the Son of God." Mary has asked her question. Gabriel tells her what's going to happen. The angel answers her question without any sense of reproof. She is asked, "How can this happen?" And she's told how. But then the angel adds one of the most amazing statements of faith in the Bible. The angel says this, "Nothing is impossible with God." And those words are an appropriate start to the Christmas story. "Nothing is impossible with God" is our phrase for this morning. Mary needed to hear those words because she was asked to believe something which, from a human perspective, totally impossible. In fact, she didn't that morning just face one impossible thing. She, in fact, faced three impossible things in what was told to her. And we're going to look at those three things briefly in our time together this morning. The first impossibility thing, the first thing she heard was impossible, as we've just heard, was this virgin birth. Now, her relative Elizabeth, 6 months before, in fact, it wasn't Elizabeth, it was Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. He had a visit from the same angel, from Gabriel, who came and said that they were to have a child and that his wife was to bear a child who would be John the Baptist. But unlike Elizabeth, who was a relative, Elizabeth was old, she couldn't have children, but nevertheless, she had a husband. But Mary was unmarried. And as the angel testifies, she was a virgin. She was asked to believe that she was going to have a baby with no contact with a man. This was her impossible situation. See, God's not bound, of course, by the laws of the universe he's made. God can operate inside the laws of the universe or outside of them. He made them to start with. So for God to place a fertilized egg inside Mary, nothing is impossible with God. The second impossibility that she was asked to believe, if the first one was unbelievable, even greater than the miracle of the virgin birth, she was asked to believe that this fertilized egg that was placed inside her by the Holy Spirit, that this fertilized egg was actually the infinite, eternal Creator God. The God without bounds, the God without beginning, the God without ends, the God who lives in inapproachable light, the holy, awesome, infinite God, actually, that this God who has no beginning and no end would limit himself to a microscopic fertilized egg in her womb, that God himself would be born in her. The angel told her that the one to be born to her would be the Holy One, that the one who would be born to her would be the Son of God. And for a Jewish young girl, that description described none other than God himself. Her situation started as impossible, and now it's got even more impossible. It was impossible to believe that she would become pregnant as a virgin, but even more, that the angel was announcing that the one that would be inside her would be the infinite God. Imagine what thoughts would be going through her mind. What would she be thinking as the angel was announcing this incredible thing? But then God, who made humankind in the first place, who had the power and ability to make the universe, he also is the one who had the power that he himself could place his very divine being inside her and yet be clothed in humanity. That somehow, way beyond any of our ability to comprehend, God was saying to her, God in all his fullness would come and be in that fertilized egg, be clothed in humanity, and yet not give up his divinity. Wow, that's totally beyond her comprehension, our comprehension. But the angel said, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Those were two impossibilities. The third impossibility she faced that day was this, that the child that she would bear, this child that was God, would be Savior, would be her Savior, would be Savior to humankind. So more than the miracle of a virgin birth, more than the miracle of the incarnation, God reveals to her that the one to be born to her would be the one that would solve the problem of human sin in the whole world. Mary goes to visit her cousin, I think she was cousin Elizabeth, who was not with her, she was in another town. And when she goes there, she talks to Elizabeth. In Luke 1:41, we read what happens. It says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That as she's talking to Mary, suddenly Elizabeth, this relative, is filled with the Holy Spirit and inspired by the Holy Spirit and prophesied by the Holy Spirit. And she exclaims in a loud voice, "Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She had this revelation. Elizabeth was there as she was as Mary approached, and suddenly the Holy Spirit showed her that God was going to be born, her Lord was going to be born through Mary. This amazing revelation that she has. Mary responds in verse 46. Mary says, "My soul," again, Mary's filled with the Holy Spirit. She prophesies, she speaks words from God. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." She realizes that this baby, there's something beyond the miracle of it being a virgin birth, beyond the miracle even of the incarnation. Actually, what is born to her, it's going to be about salvation. It's going to be about her Savior and a Savior for the whole world. The situation that was impossible proves even more incredible. The angel appears to Joseph, explains the situation, announces the child that is to be born to Mary is to be called Jesus. And this is what he says. The angel says he's to be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. The angel insists nothing is impossible with God. Now, these three miracles are, in one sense, outstanding, incredible, awesome miracles that shine out of the Christmas story. In one sense, they're one in a kind. Although the Bible's filled with miracles where God intervenes, God does something, there's something about these three things that happen, three aspects of Christmas that I wanted to suggest are unique. Something that happens as the angel comes to Mary and tells her, and as the Holy Spirit overshadows her, there's something about them which is of awesome significance, which is why the angel needs to say to her, what is impossible with man is possible with God. There is nothing impossible for God. They demonstrate the amazing, amazing power and ability of the God we serve. If God can do these impossible things, How much more is God able to do miracles in our lives? If God can do these incredible things which almost stretch our ability to believe and to understand them, in fact, they're beyond our understanding. If God can do these amazing things, how much more in our lives can God do the little miracles that we ask, the little miracles we pray for? By comparison, just after I became a Christian years ago, I had the opportunity to spend some time studying the Bible. And one of the things I really wanted to do is I looked through the Bible and I studied a word in the Bible, which is a Greek word, which is agunetos. And that Greek word means it's the word impossible. It's translated into English, impossible. I wanted to know, God, what is impossible? It occurs 10 times in the New Testament. And as you see that as you read through the New Testament, you see there's something about this word impossible. God wants us to grasp that he is the God of the impossible. That angel came to Mary and wanted her to know, this God, your Savior, your Lord is the God of the impossible. And this morning, one of the things from this Christmas story that I want to stir us up this morning as we start this Christmas, December the 1st tomorrow, as we start this Christmas season, is to freshly get in our hearts, God is the God of the impossible. See, at times we face things in our lives where we think, I don't see the way forward. I don't see God. How are you going to sort this out? This situation with my finances or where I live or my relationship or my children or my parents. God, I don't see how you're going to do it. Imagine Mary there as she was, as the angel came. What thoughts went through her mind as he said, this is what's going to, the angel said, this is what's going to happen. She must have thought, well, she said, you didn't think she said. She said, God, how are you going to do this? She said, how are you going to do this? When we face impossible situations, there's two things I want us to see this morning. Firstly, just as Mary heard God speak to her personally, individually, through this angel who came, we too have the wonderful privilege of a personal relationship with Jesus. And we've got this wonderful book that God has written. And actually, as we open this book, as we come before God, as we face any situation this Christmas time that looks difficult, looks challenging, looks even impossible, as we open this book, just as God spoke into Mary's heart and life through that angel, God will speak into my life, your life, as we open this book and humbly say, God, this book's living, it's your words. Would you freshly speak into my heart about this situation, whatever it is? I love it. I just snatched a little phrase out of Hebrews 6, verse 18. Hebrews 6, verse 18 says, it's impossible. The writer of the Hebrews in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 18 says, it is impossible, impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. And the context there, the writer of the Hebrews was talking about God's promises and how what God says is true. Isn't that amazing things? You think God is the infinite, eternal, all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. And yet there's something he cannot do. God cannot, what can he not do? He cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And that gives us this morning great faith in this book. As we open this book and say, God, would you speak freshly into my life with amazing promises? This book is filled with promises from God. I once met a church minister who particularly God had led him to learn the 8,000 promises in this book by heart. And so it was his particular gift that God given him was of stirring up a few of the, every time he met somebody, that out of those 8,000 promises, just God, Holy Spirit would give him two or three for that person as like an encouragement and a blessing. As you prophesied, as you spoke those promises over the person's life. Promises such as Proverbs 3, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. That's what we want. We want straight paths. We want paths that are heading God's direction, what God's got us to do, for us to do. As we get hold of the promises of God, believing that nothing is impossible, something in my heart changes, something in my heart grows, something in my heart starts to beat with reality that these words in here start to live in my life. Before I was a Christian, I read the whole of the Old Testament. And I read a lot of the New Testament. And as I was reading through, it struck me, this is an interesting book. This is a good history book. There's lots of wisdom in this book. But it made a very difference. The first Christmas, which was 1979, after just before that Christmas, I'd become a Christian. And I started to read this book, and it stopped being a history book. It is a history book, but it's much more. It started to live, and the words started to mean so much as it started to live in my heart. And so the promises in there are not things we can just take legalistically to God and say, God, you said this, therefore you've got to do this. It's not kind of something like that. Of course, it's something which is real and living and organic and passionate as we allow these things to live in our heart and our lives. What wonderful words they are. If you face a situation which is tough, if you face a situation which can even seem impossible this Christmas, God, how are you going to help me in this situation? Can I encourage you, come to this book, open this book and say, God, this is your words. Would you speak fresh into my heart the promises that are relevant to me in this situation? What are you saying to me in this situation? Ask the Holy Spirit to do that. Firstly, it's open this book. Secondly, once you've opened this book, sometimes we face a situation, you think, I can't see the way forward. I've tried to think about it. I've talked it over with my friends. I've looked at this situation from this angle. I just can't see a way through. It just seems impossible. What do we do in that circumstance when something seems totally impossible? Something seems like we've hit a brick wall. Do you know what? As I've looked back over, I've been a Christian over 30, about 34 years. As I've looked back over my life, I've seen situations again and again where at the time I've thought, this looks impossible. I cannot see what I'm going to do about this. This looks hopeless. There's no chance. I can't see what to do. And as I've looked back, I've seen actually God was doing something that I never guessed. God was doing something I never dreamed. God was doing something I never worked out with these little gray cells. Because these little grey cells are limited. These little grey cells, I've only got so many of them, and they're dying every day. That's the So they're getting more and more limited. But actually, I think, wow, God, look, I'm so glad you didn't answer that prayer at that time in the way I asked, because actually, you were doing something far bigger. You were doing something far better. Four verses I want us to really grab hold of today as we're finishing off our time together. I want you to grab these in your heart. Because this is what God says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. Four verses to learn. I could suggest four verses for Christmas to learn. Sorry, the red doesn't come out very well, does it? But in 1 Corinthians, God says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You see, I could sit down and think, God, it'd be great next year if you'd do this. It'd be great if 2 years' time I was doing that. It'd be great if I could do this and this and this. He says, listen, your mind has not even imagined. You cannot imagine what God has in store for you. So therefore, it makes absolute 100% sense. God is the only one that knows the future. You don't know the future. Your friends don't know the future. No one knows the future except God. So it makes 100% sense to come to God and say, God, could I have your plans? God, could I have your way through this situation? God, though this situation looks impossible, God, I want your way around it, through it, in it. God, I want these things that you have prepared for me. 1 Corinthians, Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Lovely verse. I love this verse. Fantastic. Says there, God's saying to us, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. Isn't that an incredible statement? As I sit down and think about the situation and how it could work out and what would be a best answer for the situation, God says, hang on a minute. The way you're thinking is nothing like I am thinking. Because God is thinking totally different, because it's infinitely more wonderful, the things that God is thinking about our situation and about our lives. Moving on to Jeremiah 29 verse 11. What a verse in the Bible to meditate on, think about. God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. It's such a humbling thing that as an individual, God has plans for your life. Now, obviously, it's not automatic. I've got to cooperate with those plans. I've got to say, God, could I get in step with your plans? God, could I walk with you in your plans? It's not automatic. God, we're not some kind of puppets that God kind of just pulls the strings and off we go with God's plans. But nevertheless, there's an invitation here, an invitation from God himself. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. I love this word hope. In the Bible, the word hope means a confident expectation of the future. Wow, what a wonderful thing to think. As the year 2015 approaches, that I would have a confident expectation of what lies in 2015. That whatever the challenges, whatever the struggles, whatever the opposition, but actually God has got a purpose and a plan in that year ahead. That I don't need to have fear in my heart, thinking, God, I'm not sure how it's going to work out. I'm not sure what's going to happen. God, thank you. You've got things in your heart for me. Finally, Psalm 139, verse 16. Which has to be one of the most incredible statements in the Bible. As God's describing the process, the psalmist is describing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the process of a baby being formed in a mother's womb. It's a fantastic Psalm 139. Is just so incredible as this process is described. And the psalmist is saying, God, you saw me before I was born. In other words, God had a plan when he started fashioning you inside your mother's womb. God knew what he was doing. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. If your mum and dad said you were born by accident, rubbish. Because actually, God is there and God started to work forming you. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. That's not talking about determinism as though somehow God's this great puppet master and we're all just dancing to some tune. What it's saying is there's a purpose, there's a plan. There's a plan in God's heart for your life if you want to walk in it. That's the invitation. That is the invitation. And so when we face our impossible circumstance, our impossible situation, as Mary did, we can say, God, I do not see how to get around this, how to get over it, how to get through it. In fact, it looks impossible. But thank you so much. You're a sovereign God. And you've got purposes and plans for my life. And however you want to work in this situation, God, I want in with your purposes. God, I want in with your plans. Just to finish, last few moments, let's look at how Mary responded. Mary responded to this statement where the angel said, nothing is impossible with God. How did she respond? She responded, we see the depth of the character of this girl in her response. She responded in a remarkable way in Luke 1 and verse 38. What she does is she says this, she says, I am the servant of the Lord. See, she recognizes, you're the boss, I'm the servant. You're the one that's in charge. She humbled herself. What she did was when the angel came and said what was going to happen, she didn't object. She asked an honest question. And when the angel told her, she said, I am your servant, God. What you want. She acknowledged he knows the future. She acknowledged that we're simply servants of the Most High God. It's a good place to come this morning. When we're talking to God about our future, it's a fantastic thing to come to him and say, God, I am your servant. What did she say the second thing? She said this incredible statement. She said, Mary said, may it be to me as you have said, or let it be to me according to your word. God, if that's what you want, if that's what you're saying. Now, as a Jewish girl in that society, in her mind, she knew that being pregnant outside of marriage, she knew that actually what was in store for her was family rejection, her fiancé rejecting her, and possible stoning by the people in her village. So saying those words was no kind of light thing. She wasn't just saying, yeah, sure, God, that's great. Actually, she knew this could be tough. This could be really tough. But if you're God and I'm your servant, I don't understand it. But do you see the character of Mary? Do you see, you can understand why some parts of the church venerate Mary, because what a woman, what an incredible woman that she had the guts as a young girl, actually to say, God, I'm simply your servant, and if you say it, I want in. What an amazing thing. This morning, we're just going to be quiet before God. And we're just going to ask that God would come amongst us and help us. That when we face these impossible situations, maybe today, maybe you face one today, or maybe there's some ahead in the year ahead, that actually we would have the heart that Mary had, that we would be able to join her and say, wow, God, I'm simply your servant. Whatever your path is and plan is in this situation, I want to go through. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. Father, we thank you for the inspiration of this young girl. Lord, we're humbled as we see, Lord, her incredible faith, her incredible courage, and her incredible obedience. God, could you put that in our hearts? Lord, could we have that same attitude that she had? And Lord, I want to ask today, would you do a miracle in my heart, a miracle in our hearts today? Lord, that we would have this courage. We would have this certainty of a future safe in your hands. We'd have the certainty of a God who is in control of our lives. We would have a certainty of a God who has plans for our lives that are good plans out of a heart of a good God. Lord, would you impress these things this morning on our hearts? Holy Spirit, would you bring great conviction and power about these things? That they would be deeply burning in my heart, deeply burning in our hearts together today, Lord. God, could this be a different Christmas? A Christmas where we see things different. Jesus, thank you. Just want to be quiet for a moment and just allow the Holy Spirit to prompt you. If there's an area that he wants to touch your life today, to speak in your heart about an impossible situation, or maybe not, maybe about something else totally unrelated. But whatever the Holy Spirit wants to bring to your mind today, let's lift our eyes, look to Jesus, look to him, and just allow if there's something he wants to whisper or bring to your heart. Holy Spirit, we invite you today, would you come move amongst us as individuals with the purposes and plans you have for our lives. Show us if there's something you want us to pray, something you want us to dedicate to you, something you want us to bring afresh before you today. Holy Spirit, would you do that? I just, as we're praying, God, show me a picture of one, maybe two of us, that feel like we're trying to push a big boulder uphill. It's like you've got your shoulder behind a boulder, round boulder, and you're trying to shove it uphill. And so this is really fruitless. This is really not going anywhere. This is really totally hard work and not moving forward. And just if that's a sense in your heart, I feel today that God, this is for you. This message is for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful Holy Spirit of God. If you face this morning an impossible situation, something you don't know how it's going to be resolved, can I ask today, would you almost imagine handing it over? Almost imagine it's tangible. Almost imagine it's something you can hold in your hands, a situation, and that you just give it to Jesus. You say, Jesus, here we are. I don't understand. This is impossible, but I just give the whole thing to you. Jesus, I want your purpose, your will, your way. You come now, take charge of this situation. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit of God, and help us, strengthen us. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask, just while we finish off this morning, just would you place your hand on the person next to you, on their shoulder, because we're together in this. Either twos or threes, if it works, however, just place your hand on the person's shoulder. And quietly, either pray out loud, or if you're not comfortable with doing that, just pray in your heart. Just ask God to bless your brother, bless your sister, work in their hearts, work in their lives. Help them with their circumstance. Help them with their situation. Thank you, Lord.